You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back. I have a special guest in studio. I want to welcome Elaine Marr from Farmers Insurance. Welcome, Elaine.
Hi, Doug.
You are a resident expert when it comes to insurance, and it's something that everybody out there has to have insurance in one form or another. So getting expert advice on this is extremely important.
Thank you so much. I agree. And that's the one thing about being an insurance agent that is the reward for me is the education aspect of it.
Well, you are very, very good at it, I have to say. I've learned a lot about insurance just by sitting with you. And as somebody who has a consultative approach in the mortgage business, meeting someone like you that has a consultative approach with insurance is definitely refreshing because not everybody has that. A lot of them, it's herding people through like cattle, and it's just a matter of getting a huge book of business. For you, you enjoy actually sitting down and asking people the right questions to make sure you give appropriate advice.
I do. And I'm looking at the long term. I'm looking at when or if you were to ever have a claim. I want to be able to pick up that phone and be proud of the coverage that you have in place. I don't want to just give you something based on price, the cheapest that you can get, and then hope that you never have to use it.
Very, very important. Okay, so Elaine Marr from Farmers Insurance. So what I want us to cover today is talking about something that you've created is your home insurance checkup. Okay, and we've turned this into a checklist that we're going to put on our website at smartwithyourmoney.com. Look for Elaine Marr from Farmers Insurance. We're going to make sure this PDF download is in there. So a home insurance checkup, let's go through this. So this typically comes up, I'm assuming, when somebody either wants to shop their current plan or you're talking to them possibly as a new customer. These are the questions you ask to make sure that their insurance that they have is appropriate.
Right, right. I kind of sat down and I thought, what are the most repeatable things I find myself doing with new business coming in? Are the things that I find people just don't know? You know, they've never been taught.
Yeah, they haven't been taught, or they have the inappropriate coverages.
Correct.
Okay, so let's start on the first one that you have on the list, and that's talking about just in general, tell your theory about what insurance is for and what it's not for on your home.
Right. Getting an understanding of just what this insurance is going to cover. The best way to try to figure out if you have a claim or if this is going to cover it is to try to break it down. Your insurance is for sudden and accidental perils, things that happen to your home. Okay. It's not a maintenance issue. So you've got to stop and look at this and go, is this maintenance and wear and tear that's normal, that's going to happen with a home? Or is this something sudden and accidental, a peril, something that happened?
So, right. So the insurance company is not there to fix maintenance issues.
No. You have a pipe that's rusted out, that's not going to be covered. That's normal wear and tear.
Well, and you mentioned an example off air about your foundation as an example. You get a crack in your foundation and water seeping through it. That's not necessarily, that's more of a maintenance issue.
It is. It is. Yes, because all foundations have water around them. If it's coming through your foundation, there's a problem. There's some waterproofing or something that needs to be done.
So when you talk about a peril, that's things that happen to your home. Give us a couple examples because you mentioned water. Water can be a peril.
Correct.
But what are the circumstances when water is a peril versus versus a maintenance issue?
Okay, so water is one of the biggest questions that people have understanding if it's a claim. I try to encapsulize it to be if it's water from the inside out, so your pipes on the inside break, toilet overflows, washer hose comes off, all that's covered. If it's water from the outside coming in, then there's different parameters we need to look at. If it's groundwater coming over your thresholds, it's going to be flood. You have to have a flood policy. Okay, if it's water coming from the outside up through that sewer and drain in your basement, it's coming backing up through there, that'll be covered as long as you have sewer and drain coverage written on your policy. Policies don't automatically come with that endorsement. You have to have that on there. And it's for damage that dirty water does. If it soaks up in your carpeting, if it soaks up in your drywall.
So sewer and drain is an example. I mean, that's you see several different situations where that comes up. It could be, you mentioned heavy rains before.
Yes.
Heavy rains can back your sewer up.
Heavy rains.
It could be collapsed line.
Yes, it can be a collapsed line. Anything that causes that to back up. We're not going to cover the maintenance or the repair of that collapsed line, but we will cover damage done by the water that backed up. Usually it'll back up, go up 10, 12 inches, and it'll go back down. And it usually happens during a heavy rain when the sewers outside cannot handle it all.
Well, and that's a different coverage you have to make sure is part of your policy, correct?
You have to make sure it's written on. It's not automatically on a policy. I either see that people don't have it, or I see that people just have the cookie-cutter coverage of $5,000. The water mitigating companies that come into my agency say don't even bother with $5,000 if you're going to have it. Their basic cleanup average is $7,000. So our coverages do go from $5,000 up to $50,000. And that's something I'm going to meet with the client about and decide what they need. Is their basement finished, and et cetera? How big is their home? We're going to decide how much they need.
Excellent stuff. So in case you just joined us, you're listening to the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. We're speaking with Elaine Marr from Farmers Insurance about the home insurance checkup. And several of you are going to want to download this list. If you do want to download it, we've created a PDF for you at smartwithyourmoney.com and look for Elaine Marr blog post. So Elaine, when we're talking about reconstruction costs, not market value, what does that mean?
Yes, that's another thing. When I'm advising someone on how much dwelling amount to cover, to carry on their policy, they'll say, well, my house isn't worth that much. And understand that the insurance company is covering you for reconstruction cost. Reconstruction is going to be much more than new construction. And sometimes even rebuilding half a home costs more than building a full home, a total loss. You got to think about if there was a fire, we've got smoke damage, water damage, you know, the fire damage. We've got to pull it apart, clean it up, and then piece it back together.
And try to tie in new sections of a house to an old section of the house.
Right. Contract that, multiple people. So it's, and I've been through some fires with some people, and that reconstruction cost does add up quickly. And the other thing to consider is we're not even talking about your property. We're not even talking about the land that your home is sitting on.
This is just the house itself.
Just the house.
The dwelling.
Mm-hmm. I'll have people say, my house didn't assess for that. My house isn't worth that on the market. That's not a consideration for us. We don't look at market value. We don't look at the assessed value. We're looking at reconstruction. And we have a Marshall and Swift program that gets up updated every quarter. We run through the factors of your home to come up with how much dwelling amount to advise that you carry.
Yeah, and somebody may decide they don't want to have full replacement cost of reconstruction of the house. So frequently we see a house down in the city that's all brick and with plaster walls. Well, if they wanted to reconstruct it as is, it might be a huge cost. And they may decide, you know what, if it burns down, I'm not going to reconstruct it as is. So making sure that they have somebody like you that asks them the appropriate questions to know, do they want to do that?
We will talk through those. We will talk through those. If you have a solid brick home, two layers of brick with the plaster walls, that home might have only been bought for $50,000 down in the city, but the reconstruction cost might be $400,000. Are you going to rebuild it to historic value? If that's important to you, then we will. If not, we can modify it. And also, as far as not rebuilding, it depends on what municipality you're in. You might be able to get by with that in a city, but out here in St. Peter's, I had someone that had a fire. The city marshal was there when I showed up an hour after the fire started to say, hey, if there's any funds coming through, the city is going, they have to rebuild. They can't leave an empty lot.
Oh, wow.
So you can't do that everywhere. Your municipality won't.
They will dictate.
Always. Mm-hmm. Yep. And they put a lien on the money that was coming from the insurance company to
and
make
don't
sure.
You, don't you guys also at Farmers offer extended replacement cost on their dwelling coverage?
Yes. That started, it started quite a while ago, but Katrina really raised the concern back in, I think, 07 was when Katrina was. A lot of people ended up being underinsured because the cost of labor and materials and catastrophic losses will unexpectedly go sky high. People are gouging you, taking, you know, advantage of that there's a short demand of supply. So as a feel-good thing, there's a buffer. It's called extended replacement cost. We might say that it's going to take $300,000 to reconstruct your home, but we'll give you another 25% or another 50% extended replacement cost just in case we're wrong.
We're speaking with Elaine Marr from Farmers Insurance about a home insurance checkup. Now, Elaine, when we talk about replacement cost on personal property, what are some of the best rules on this?
Make sure that you have it, for one, that you have contents replacement cost or replacement cost on personal property.
So your house burns. Now, this is talking about all the other stuff inside of your home.
All your personal property. Anything if you were to take with you, if you were going to move, that's your personal property. Or it'll be listed as contents coverage on your deck page. Look at that. If it says limited contents replacement, that means you're not going to get the actual replacement cost. How it works in a claim, you have a fire loss. We're going to give you the stack of paper and say, give us everything that you lost. Well, I've been through fires with people. It's very devastating. And now we're asking for that. So if you do, I highly recommend you do a home inventory. It's as simple as taking a digital camera, your phone, going room to room, opening up drawers, opening up cabinets, taking pictures of everything so that you have an inventory or visual memory of everything that you lost. Not to prove it to us, but so that you can remember, I want you claiming everything. The first check you're going to get is the depreciated value of all that stuff. And then I always put replacement costs of personal property on my clients' policies. When they go to replace something, if we only gave him $100 for a TV and it cost him $800 to replace it, we're on the hook for the real replacement value.
Once they actually buy the TV.
Once they
then.
Go buy it, yes.
Okay.
And you've got to make sure you've got that on there. Some people don't understand that that's how insurance policies work. If you don't have replacement costs for personal property on there, you're only going to get the depreciated value of your belongings.
Yeah, very, very important. And when you talk about making a list, I'm sitting here thinking about all the stuff in my house. If I had to sit here and write it all down by memory, I'd miss all kinds of things.
I would forget half of it. Those little incidental things, you know, that digital picture frame my kids gave me that's sitting on a table. I love it, but would I remember it? You know, I'm thinking of the big stuff. Yeah.
Well, and I'm going to make sure that the home inventory, we're going to put some descriptions of that on our website too in this blog post at smartwithyourmoney.com. And this PDF download will put as many details as possible. But one thing about this is that the PDF download and this actual checklist, it's incomplete without the person like you, Elaine, to actually ask the questions.
Because it can vary from person to person. You know, we have to take – these are very basic, and then we have to apply them to you.
Yes, because the solutions is really what this is getting to. So after that, you also talk about earthquake coverage. Is also on the list.
Right, making sure that you have it. I have people with two schools of thought. I have people that say, oh, we're never going to have an earthquake. You're probably never going to have a fire either. Insurance costs are going up because of all the climate changes and all the weather-related losses. We're close to the new Madrid fault. I suggest people have it.
Yeah, because even if they can choose not to have it,
yes,
and you're okay with that, but at least in this checklist it reviews it.
It reviews it. Do you have it? Some people don't think to look that you need to actually have earthquake stated on the policy. They assume a homeowner's policy is going to cover everything.
Definitely good to know. So what about when we talk about perils, because earlier we were talking about perils or things that happen to your home. When are there perils with limits?
There will be things like theft. Theft is the big one. And there's limits on what an insurance company will pay out for theft. If you can't say you had $10,000 worth of cash, there's going to be a limit of $300, $500 they'll pay for that. But the big ones are guns, furs, jewelry. There's limits for those for theft. Jewelry, for instance, we will pay out $1,500 per piece max and a max of $5,000. So I talk with people about what they own. And if they have jewelry that's above that, we're going to do a floater or a rider that's going to cover specific pieces of jewelry.
So really important as part of that home inventory to make sure that if you have a high value item that you do get it insured, because I mean, jewelry is one of the easiest ones for people to steal.
Right.
It's a small item. Somebody that's in your house doing work or even a guest in your home. Mm-hmm. They can put that in their pocket and walk right out with it.
I've had someone's cleaning company really, bit by bit, steal jewelry and even replace a diamond with zirconium. It's very,
very difficult
risk.
To catch people, too.
Yes.
Yeah, that's I can see how important that is. There's also, I know, animal liability exclusions can be part of those perils with limits.
Yes, and that's becoming a hot topic item with a lot of insurance companies. With increased costs, insurance companies are really clamping down on who they insure. A lot of them will have an animal list, a breed list of who they will or will not. And then they'll find out, do they have a biting history? If they have a biting history, you're not going to have animal liability. Some of them are just building that into the back end of their policies that animal liability is not included.
Well, and pretty important to know, like if you have a trampoline, if you have a pool,
right.
Vacant homes. You know, and vandalism, mm-hmm. those are types of things that I know you have drop down coverages and perils with limits. Really important to know that you have the right amount.
Right. And knowing that a trampoline can affect you the same as a pool. Your municipality will have rules for pools. They don't so much for trampolines, but in an insurance company's eyes, we want that yard fenced. If it's not fenced, it's an attractive nuisance. Someone gets hurt. Are you going to have coverage for that? Some of them will eliminate liability for trampolines. And then on the vacant homes, that's the one that's starting now too, that if that home is going to be vacant for more than 30 days, there's some parameters that these insurance companies are putting on there. You have to change it to a vacant home policy. And it might be you just have your home up for sale because you moved somewhere else.
great stuff because there are a lot of people with vacant homes that would not even think about changing their coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Last one that's on your list are your deductibles.
Yes.
Really important to make sure you have the right deductible.
Know your deductibles. Your deductibles on your auto and your home are the one thing that's going to affect your pricing the most. The higher your deductible, the lower you're paying me every month. So what can you afford and what is your pricing?
I'm a fan of high deductibles because I think if people follow the first rules that I tell them is to have a good emergency fund. And if you have a good emergency fund, you can have a higher deductible and you're going to be okay.
Right. Exactly.
Very, very important. So, Elaine, one thing you've offered up to our listeners that I think is very powerful is the first 10 listeners that contact Elaine can get a free home insurance checkup. And that's a great offer because you can go to our website and get the PDF download of this checkup, and you can answer these questions yourself. But if you don't know even how to read your policy, which I wouldn't if I hadn't gone through your questioning – I wouldn't have known where to go or what solution to provide. So the first 10 listeners that reach out to you are going to be able to get that free home insurance checkup. And, Elaine, the best number to reach you is 314-238-0055. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right, to the office. And I would love to do that. That's my wheelhouse. I love looking at this stuff and really opening people's eyes to what they have. Most people just trust that, okay, I'm covered.
So if you'd like to be one of those first 10 listeners, get in touch with Elaine right away. Reach out to Elaine Marr from Farmers Insurance at 314-238-0055. Also, visit our website at smartwithyourmoney.com. Look for the PDF download for this. It's going to be in the blog post for Elaine Marr. It's also going to be in our resources section. We'll have the download that says Home Insurance Checkup. So look at that and make sure you are properly covered. So, Elaine, if you have time to stick around, we're going to be talking about mitigating insurance costs. So how can you reduce your insurance costs? We're going to talk about that more when we return. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back. I am rejoined by my special guest, Elaine Marr from Farmers Insurance. Welcome, Elaine.
Hi, Doug. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you had time to stick around because I get questions a lot from people, especially when they're talking about our theme of the show of Smart With Your Money. And one of the rising things in their budget tends to be insurance. And that's when people don't seem to really question their insurance until they see their premiums go up.
That's right. There's a lot of disruption in the market right now, which has created a lot of activity for me and the ability to do what I'd love to do and educate people.
And what's causing the disruption in the market that's making these rates go up?
A lot of it is weather-related on the homes. It's frequency of weather-related claims. So there's a lot of weather-related or climate-type disasters that are happening and more of a frequency than they ever have in the past. On autos, most of it is the fatalities, unfortunately. We were really blindsided this year, 2016. We thought pricing would go down, but fatalities or deaths have gone up, even though autos are safer than they've ever been. And the thing is, it's distracted drivers.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask that. That's distracted driving.
Yeah. Even the pedestrian deaths have gone up because of the pedestrians. They're looking down.
Too.
They're distracted. The drivers are distracted. And it's unfortunate. Those are the large losses and large lawsuits that insurance companies are incurring that are creating price increases. You know, we expect that we're going to have to pay for a car $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. We don't expect we're going to have to shell out $750,000 for some type of death or a fatality, injury, any type of injury.
Very scary. Okay, so when that happens, and now we not only want to review the cost of our insurance, but we want to mitigate the costs. What are your top tips to be able to mitigate the cost of insurance?
Right. I've been meeting with my clients and going over all the stuff. First of all, people usually just want an explanation. And even though maybe it wasn't you that had an accident, it wasn't you that caused an injury, we are all in this risk share pool. It's going to affect you. If you were one that had an accident, your rates are going to go up even higher. So we want to sit down and we really want to make sure that your plan is current. My biggest thing for anybody is know your agent. Have an agent. Know your agent. agent and meet with your agent. Have a relationship with them.
So go ahead and meet face-to-face, preferably.
Yes. And sit down and have them explain. Have questions. Make sure you understand what your coverages are and that those coverages are tailored towards you. Not everybody should have the same coverage or the same deductibles and so forth.
Well, one thing about understanding coverages is interesting. I can still remember back when I was in my early 20s and I had my first policies on my own. I didn't get it. And like I had to hear the stuff over and over and over until it would finally start to ring a bell, because when you're only talking about it once a year, you don't get the repetition as what you do as an agent. So as a consumer, you to understand your coverages, you have to put a little bit of work into it to try to understand this.
Right,
and
right. And I've seen a difference since I've been in the business. It used to be really hard to get in front of people because the insurance prices were pretty steady, and who wants to talk about insurance? Well, now with all this disruption, it has created more opportunity for me to talk with people, and people are hungrier for the knowledge to understand why it's going up and what can I do about it.
Well, and one thing that I've learned to do personally is when I make a decision on something like that, okay, if I'm consulting with you, Elaine, as my insurance agent, and you give me advice, and after listening to the options, I choose a certain option, I actually have a place where I keep notes to myself about why I chose certain options, whether your car insurance, home insurance, even a mortgage option, or all kinds of different options out there. I keep notes to myself because I've given up on thinking that I'm actually going to remember something later.
Right. And I find that especially with people who are buying their first home. Okay, they've already sat down with you and went over all the mortgage. Now they're going to sit down with me and go over all the other insurance choices. How much are they really going to be able to remember? Because it's all new knowledge. Most of the time, this is all new information. So I make it a priority that we meet. We offer an annual review, but that first year, I really want to get in front of them again and remind them why we structured it the way we did.
I definitely get that. And I mean, one of them is like an autos. Do you need full coverage on every car?
Right. That's something we look at. Really, you've had that car for 10 years and you've been insuring it. What's it really worth? Is it worth paying for full coverage on that auto?
When you're looking at these reviews with people, how often do they need to adjust the amount of personal property that's covered?
The personal property on your home is something that typically, this is new to farmers, but it's something you typically really can't adjust. It's an automatic figure that comes with your dwelling amount. You have a dwelling amount, and it'll typically kick in 70% of your personal property. Well, Farmers has just come out with last year a plan that's called Smart Home, and it has three levels to it. It's good, better, and best. It gives us the ability, it's a platform, it gives us the ability to adjust some of those automatic figures down. Someone who has a $500,000 home will have $350,000 and personal property coverage, and they're like, I don't need that much. Why am I paying for it? Well, because it automatically comes with the policy. Well, now we have a platform that we can go ahead and adjust that and maybe save you some dollars.
I like it. And you mentioned that there are platforms that insurance is based on that change over time with insurance companies. Explain what that means. What is a platform that insurance is based on?
Just like I was talking about with us, we have what I call a new platform. It's a new policy. You know, we had Next Gen, we had Special Form, now we have Smart Home Plan. The insurance companies will change their plans or their titles of their policies, and we call them new platforms. Well, your insurance company may have, since you bought that policy 5-10 years ago, they may have a new plan that they've put out that they're writing new business into. That's something to talk to your agent about. Hey, would I rate better? Would I do better or have better pricing or coverage in any new plans that you have?
Definitely important, because those can change over time. And what, you know, you may have bought your house 3, 4, 5 years ago, and since then your situation may be dramatically different. So let's talk about the risk assessment score. Okay, when they run the risk of a loss, okay, what's the number one factor that affects your risk assessment score?
I find the biggest one that affects it is your credit rating. Okay, when you come in as new business to an insurance company, you're going to get an insurance score or a risk assessment score. It has, for instance, I believe ours has 14 different factors to it. You know, it might be where you live, if you're male or female, if you're married, not married, what you own, how many claims you've had in the past. But a big part of it could be your credit score. It's a behavioral type thing that the actuaries look at, and a lot of people don't think this is fair, but they look at it and they look at the risk assessment. You know, are you likely to be more of a person who's going to use this?
Yeah, and they can't determine the risk assessment score by any of the protected classes that they can't use, but they absolutely can use credit score, because there's nothing discriminatory about that.
Right.
And they wouldn't use credit score if there weren't a direct correlation between your credit score and how many claims you're going to file. And on our show, we talk about credit score a lot, and I think people wonder why it keeps coming up so much. And it's because it is such a big deal. And anybody that encourages you to pay cash for everything and don't play the credit game and, you know, having a zero credit score is okay, it's not. I mean, every insurance policy you're ever going to get is going to run your credit score.
Right. And that's going to be one of the factors that's going to affect what pricing that you're paying. So it plays right into what you're teaching people, being smart with your money. You know, let's also look at this and have a cognizant effort to make sure you're improving your credit score. And I'll sit down with people. If I find that they were business from 2011 and we haven't run their score since then, they think it's gotten better, I'll go ahead and do a re-rate sheet. I can go ahead and have them sign a sheet that's like, we'll rerun your score for you. We're going to leave your policy, everything in place, but let's rerun your score and see if you have a better score, it'll drop your pricing. Now, if you have a worse score, it could make it go up too.
Right,
so we talk through this. We talk through it.
Well, yeah, we get a lot of first-time home buyers that may have a 640 credit score when they buy their first house, and they live there 4, 5, 6 years and never really get that reviewed again.
Right.
So every year when they're renewing policies, do they run their credit score again?
No, it's not necessarily run. No, it's not at all. They'll rerun the reconstruction cost on the home and so forth, but we don't rerun their score. That's why I will manually talk to my client about it and think if they are sure it's gotten better, then let's put a form in. We have to put a form in. They have to sign to say, please rerun the score on this policy.
Very good. In case you just joined us, you're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. We're speaking with Elaine Marr from Farmers Insurance about mitigating your insurance costs. So one of the questions you ask is, can you afford a higher deductible?
Right. I'm a fan, and you are too, I know, of higher deductibles. You know, again, a deductible on your auto or home is the one thing that affects your pricing the most.
Right.
The more
so, somebody say, why would you ever be a fan of a high deductible? Like, mm-hmm. it seems so contrary to most people. To their thinking, you'd always want a low deductible.
Right.
No.
A lower deductible is a higher price. You're going to pay me more every month. And you need to look at what your behavior is. Are you going to turn in anything under $1,000? Are you going to turn in anything under $2,500? People are getting more and more protective of their policies because companies out there are really cleaning up their book of business. Some of them are letting them go after two claims. People are really keeping insurance for the bigger things, for the bigger claims. So let's raise that deductible, lower your cost.
It changes your habits, and don't take a higher deductible if you're somebody who doesn't keep any money in reserve.
Right. We talk about that. If you can't afford it, you're retired, you're on a fixed income, you don't know where that $2,500 will come from, then this isn't the way to go for you. But we also will put them on a plan of starting possibly a deductible savings account. I have people that will open up a Roth account, maybe put $50 a month into your Roth account. Now you know that money's there. Maybe it gets up to be $2,500. Let's raise your deductible to $2,500.
So a Roth account for a deductible savings account. I like that. Mm-hmm. That's a new idea.
Just
never
made
never
it up. Yep.
It's genius, though.
You could use a savings account, but I like that Roth account. It's money you can get to your contributions without a penalty. But what I find more often than not is when people start seeing that grow, they're not going to touch it. They're going to find another way to come up with the money. But it also gives you peace of mind. If I need it, it's there.
Excellent. Well, I tell you what, I know some people are going to want to see these points. And if you want to re-listen to any of this information, visit our website at smartwithyourmoney.com and look for Elaine Marr from Farmers Insurance. This is going to be titled Mitigating Insurance Costs. I know a lot of people are going to want to re-listen to this. And Elaine, if somebody wants to reach out directly to you, if you want to talk to Elaine directly from Farmers Insurance, it's 314-238-0055. It's 314-238-0055. Or we're going to make sure on our website at smartwithyourmoney.com, all of your contact information is on there. So, Elaine, really appreciate you spending your Sunday with us.
Great. I would love to hear from them. Myself or Michelle will be answering the phone and can talk them through anything they want to know.
Great stuff. Well, thanks again for coming in.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate it.
So remember that becoming smart with your money is as simple as listening every Sunday at 4 p.m., subscribing to our website at smartwithyourmoney.com, or by listening to our podcast, Smart With Your Money with Doug Haldeman. See you next week.